guys. What's going on? It's the Dream It Alive show. I'm your host, Ash Kumra, co-founder of DreamItAlive.com. DreamItAlive.com is a global community that guides you to create your dream life with visualization tools, dream boards, and helpful personal development content. So please take the next level and become the best self of you. Check it out at DreamItAlive.com. Today's guest is someone who really understands what it takes to achieve a winning mindset. Today's guest is best-selling author and serial entrepreneur Peter Sage. He's a well-known serial entrepreneur with 25 years of experience in various growing fast-paced enterprises. He has served as the chairman of the London YES Group, the largest personal development organization in Europe, and he's currently on the Entrepreneur Advisory Board for INSEAD, which is a global top five business school and one of the world leaders in the field of entrepreneurship education. He's also an advisor to the Hungarian government on their think tank policies. And what's really awesome about him is that he also has a very awesome give back side. He actually is involved with a clean energy solar project in India, where his focus is to provide clean energy to over 250,000 families in Rajasthan, which is a state in India. So that's insane. Over 250,000 families. I mean, that's millions of people easily. So, you know, today's guest, I guess it's pretty self-explanatory why we wanted him on. But, you know, we all have big dreams and goals. We all want to achieve that highest state of life. But having a higher purpose, leveraging your strengths to give back and make the world better, heal it in many ways, is what I feel is the ultimate dream manifested. And I'm excited to learn from Mr. Sage, and hopefully you will learn too on how you develop this winning mindset and how you can truly just give back and create massive change. So stay tuned, and briefly we will have Mr. Sage on the show. And we are back. How you doing, Peter? Hello? Hello.
Hello.
How you doing, Peter? Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm very, really good. I was having a problem dialing in through Skype, so I'm on a landline.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you're more than welcome.
So, Peter, you are quite a eclectic individual. You've done a lot in your world, over 25 years of experience as an entrepreneur, giving back. Before you got on the show, we were just talking about some of the accolades you've done. Tell us about your background, like how you got to become who you are as an entrepreneur.
That's a very interesting question. I think there's an age-old question that keeps going around the circuit, you know, are entrepreneurs born or are they made? And the answer in my experience is both. I mean, we all have a natural predisposition towards certain inherent character personality traits. And so, you know, somebody who is inherently shy, somebody who is inherently risk-averse, is likely not going to suddenly, you know, become a risk-taking, extroverted entrepreneur. But for me, I was a little shy in my early days. I think that had a lot to do with my upbringing. And I also knew that I had a gift for being able to see opportunity. You know, I would look at opportunity and think, well, why doesn't anybody else see that? And then, of course, a couple of months later, you'd find out somebody's turned it into a success. And I'm like, well, that's my idea. And I think all of us have experienced that at some point. But as a young man growing up, I just saw opportunity. I saw, you know, an incredible, you know, kaleidoscopically sparkling, unique world that I was grateful to be born into, a time where I could actually go out and create stuff that, you know, learning about history in school, our ancestors never got a chance to be able to do. So for me, it was about an openness to possibility that really set me up as an entrepreneur.
That's amazing. You know, you talked about developing this, you know, this mindset or this ability to see opportunities. Let's jump back to the present day for a second. What do you do right now that keeps you kind of able to see opportunities? And what do you recommend to your clients to do so they can see opportunities?
The first thing is about setting a level of intention that commands you to be open to those opportunities. So many people do not know how to manage their self-talk. You know, whether it's external or internal, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing to the brain and the character. Now, if you're walking around saying, you know, I can't find opportunity, then your brain has incredible commitment to making you right and is going to turn around and say, yep, you're right. The opportunity I would have spotted for you over there, I'm definitely not going to bring it into your conscious awareness because I daren't make you wrong because I'm part of you. So, you know, the first thing is really about being open to the fact that we're living in a time in history, you know, that our ancestors have dreamed about for 100,000 years, you know, where you've got opportunity exploding out around every corner. You know, in the recession, people were saying, oh, it's so hard to get on and get projects funded. And I'm like, are you kidding? I have a belief that there's more money available to be lent than there are people who want to borrow it. And guess what? That became my reality. You know, people walking around saying, oh, I can't find any finance, that became their reality. And so, you know, to condition the mindset of getting somebody into a positive level of relationship with life where opportunities come at them or are revealed, then it's very simple. Set the intention. Do you want opportunity? Are you unconsciously afraid of opportunity? Which a lot of people are, because they see it as more responsibility or more opportunities to fail and therefore not appear good enough in the patterns that they're running, you know, for approval and recognition and validation from others. Or do you say, you know, to hell with all of that? You know, I'm here once as far as I know I'm going to remember it in whatever context that is, and so I'm going to swing the bat no matter what. And, you know, please bring me opportunities. I'm going to search and look for something that I know I'm worth and I deserve more than what I'm settling for right now. Let's go play.
I love that. Well, walk us through one or two experiences in your earlier days as an entrepreneur where you set an intention, you kind of visualize it, and you made it happen.
Wow, that takes me back. let's start at the beginning. I worked for my dad for a short while. My dad kind of owned his own job. He had a junkyard. And, you know, I was a 17-year-old kid that, you know, was kind of wide-eyed. I dropped out of school. I really didn't know what I was doing in the world or where my place fit in. But I knew that, yeah, my destiny was not to work in a junkyard for the rest of my life or carry on the family business, as my dad thought, was, you know, God rest his soul. And, yeah, I thought, I turn around to my dad and I says, Dad, I'm leaving at the end of the week. And I remember him saying, he says, well, what are you getting into? You know, are you going to work for somebody else? You know, and he was happy. I mean, he was kind of towing me along as the sort of token obligation for the family business, and yeah, to keep me off the streets. And you know, but it wasn't my place. Yeah, I wasn't into that game. But I turn around and I says, well, no, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. But I do know this. You know, I know that if I jump in the deep end, I can only swim. And I'm not going to be able to learn to swim while I've got these armbands on of you paying me, you know, my £40 a week wages, as it was back then, and me getting into a comfort zone of thinking that that's all there is. So, you know something? No, I'm going to jump. And I did, and I remember I was actively looking that week for opportunity because now I was forced to. You know, I was kind of, you know, let me go out. There's got to be something. And at the end of the day, the worst case could happen is what? I mean, I could go back and work with my dad if need be. Or, you know, people say to me, oh, what if I fail? Well, what if you fail? you'll have some more stories for the grandkids. You're living in a time where it's almost impossible to starve to death. You don't try it, they'll force feed you. Yeah, and you know, people come at me like as if failure is this massive, you know, issue. Well, no, it's not a massive issue. The only issue is most people associate lack of success or failing to a lack of self-worth as to who they are, and that is the pain they're trying to avoid. Well, I came from a place of not having much to lose at that level, so I didn't mind stepping out. So for me, I went out and I was looking for opportunity. And the opportunity that I came across, you never know where it's going to come from. I was actually playing pool in shooting pool in a bar, and a gentleman answered a phone call from a phone in his pocket. Now today we don't give that too much attention, but back in 1989, that was like, wow, a cell phone. You know, they're like $1,000, and I'm like, this guy must have money. He must be important. He must be a somebody. I want to get to know what he does. So I went and sat next to him at the bar. I couldn't afford to buy him a drink, but I sat next to him, and I struck up a conversation, and he introduced me to the whole field of personal development. After about an hour of talking to him and listening to him, and he was one of these things that I really wanted to become, called an entrepreneur. And yeah, and he was like this, you know, wow guy. He had a cell phone, for goodness sake. And he says, listen, there's something about you, young man. I mean, he was much older. He was like 23. and he said, there's something about you, young man. I'm going to drop a set of, and it was cassette tapes in those days, yeah, behind the bar. Come back tomorrow, and they'll be waiting for you. And I'm like, wow. And I went back the next day, and the landlord turned around and he says, look, there's a set of tapes somebody's dropped in for you. And I listened to it, and, you know, to this day, I can't remember which it was. It was kind of like the Psychology of Success, kind of Dennis Wheatley program, but it was, I don't think it was that, but it was a six-tape Nightingale Conant type personal development. And what was amazing about it was it suddenly showed me that, whoa, hang on a minute. You mean there's an industry that teaches success? Wow, where was that on my options to learn at school? You know, where was that when I had the option to do that or calculus? I mean, I know which one I'd have chosen. I know which one would offer me a lot better start in life moving forward. Yeah, and I was like, wow, I became an addict. I mean, literally, I was mainlining, you know, as much information as I could about, you know, the whole personal development industry. And that was, I guess, largely also responsible for shifting my mindset from that age moving forward. But, you know, they say when the student's, you know, ready, the teacher appears, and I was probably ready for something because I set that intention. You know, I left my dad, I jumped in the deep end, and before you knew, I was swimming in a new pool with information that was teaching me how to become successful. The vehicle that I was getting involved in was almost irrelevant. You know, you get a driving license, it doesn't matter what car you get in if you know how to make it move forward. And for me, that was getting my driving license.
That's awesome. Wow. that's a great example. Thank you for sharing that. That was I appreciate you sharing from your personal journey in life. Walk us through what you're now doing. I mean, I looked you up online, and you have this amazing presence, this amazing brand, and you have this amazing vision. What is your vision now, like with what you're doing with your core business?
Well, my core business has shifted over the last couple of years, that's largely down to me having a commitment to following my truth. You see, a lot of people don't follow their truth. You know, and when I say truth, I mean, it's an objective word. You know, truth with a capital T is that we don't know the truth. You know, everybody has their own version of what the truth is. But, you know, and what is my truth would be different to somebody else's truth. So, you know, I just want to preframe that the fact I'm using that word somewhat abstract way. But for me, your personal truth is that inner feeling that talks to you through your gut, your feeling center, and the feeling center doesn't speak in language. You know, the mind speaks in language. You know, metaphors, labels, associations, all that kind of stuff that the mind will run us around in circles with, which is great, and it's a tool that has a useful purpose. But the kind of communication that your gut talks to you in is feelings. And I'm not talking about emotions. I'm not talking about, you know, biochemical reactions to thoughts that you have. Yeah, I'm talking about a feelings. Yeah, that intuitive level of gut response. You know, when you meet somebody for the first time, whether you know about them or not, before you've even opened your mouth, that deal that you look at that looks good on paper, stacks up on the business plan, but you found out that 6 months later, you know, you didn't invest, which was great because somebody who did just lost their money. Yeah, and so that level of gut intuition, yeah, was telling me a couple of years ago that my role is to transition out of the corporate world and get back onto the teaching world. You know, I've always been able to speak on stage for the last probably 15 years at various levels. You know, audiences of, you know, anywhere from, you know, a couple of hundred to several thousand, and I've always enjoyed being able to share some of the lessons that I've learned. But I've always done it for fun. I've always done it for kind of a hobby. You know, something I was passionate to do on the side. And really, a lot of the information and a lot of the messages I've been getting about following my truth recently is that, listen, this is your gift right now. Go give it. Yeah, go share some of the lessons you've learned, painfully and otherwise, to hopefully inspire or help some other people follow that path. You know, I've you know, blazed a trail through various different jungles, as we all have in our own way. And, you know, if there's other people that are coming through, just like the gentleman in the bar with me was gracious enough to see something and left a set of cassette tapes for me to pick up on, you know, that I had no idea the domino effect that would have on my life. And neither did he. And, you know, he probably still doesn't to this day. Whereas, you know, if I'm able to tip a few little dominoes for other people that can lead them to their own path, their own greatness, their own levels of understanding and empowerment to take their lives to a more, you know, meaningful place, then there's no way I should be able to get in my own way to not let that happen. So really my truth right now is being able to, like, be on calls and interviews like this, where I can hopefully give a little bit of inspiration through my story to help other people clarify what theirs can be.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, one of the things I like about your background is that you have this really amazing give back side. Tell us about your project you're doing with India right now.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a great believer in, you know, projects we get involved in right now in business should, based on the state that the world is in, have shifted from the entrepreneur himself or herself, who was traditionally, certainly sort of in the 80s, the stereotype, the Gordon Gekko type capitalist of what can I get out of the opportunities I create to serve my needs and myself. You know, that we're out of that by such a long way. Now, the world's a much smaller place, and we start to understand that the levels of challenge that we face globally right now, whether it's energy, whether it's food, whether it's water, whether it's religious conflict, whether it's, you know, all of that kind of stuff, can only be solved from a higher level of awareness. You know, as Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the same level of consciousness that created the problem. And a lot of the self-serving, egocentric, you know, sort of ideals that, you know, we've hopefully transitioned through for a lot of people that caused a lot of the, you know, the issues that we face right now, where, you know, we've been doing too much take and not enough give. If we can come from a place of wanting to be more enlightened in business by focusing on what can I contribute, and as a result or a byproduct of that, obviously get something for myself, but not as a core motivation, then that's really where business goes, and certainly for myself right now. So my project in India is centering around being able to bring renewable energy to, you know, the states of Rajasthan, states of MP, and really work on creating a sustainable energy project there that can hopefully bring clean energy and enhanced quality of life to about 250,000 people. Now, on the back of that, I've also been working for many years on the commercialization of a technology called space-based solar power. And space-based solar is you can only describe really as a mega project. I mean, it's enormous. It would take billions of dollars to actually materialize. And for those listening, to give the very sort of quick skinny on it, if you take solar panels and put them on rooftops, every night it gets dark. Yeah, so that's an intermittent form of energy, so you couldn't run a city with that, you know, because you wouldn't want to be hooked up to a life support machine that was powered by solar panels and it get cloudy. That'd be a bad hair day. So you know, to get a base load or a constant source of power, one needs to look at things that can be on demand. And that's where fossil fuels have traditionally served the biggest need, but unfortunately at the biggest level of consequence. Whereas if you take that solar panel and put it in space, then you can actually broadcast that with your existing technology, just like a cell phone signal does exactly the same thing from a satellite in space, broadcast through a radio frequency down to Earth. But instead of carrying voice and data, what if it was just to be converted back into power? And, yeah, we know how to do this. We've known how to do it since the 60s. It's never been commercially viable, but that is now shifting. And, you know, space-based solar power, as predicted by many futurists currently, certainly credible ones, is predicted to be one of the major sources of energy moving forward. So I've been working a lot on the last several years being able to help commercialize that, and I'm very proud to say that we've made some major impacts in that with, you know, the governments of China, India, and even the U.S., but that's really my corporate side, if you like. That's what I'm focused on right now, is trying to bring some clean energy to the planet in areas that need it the most.
Okay, no, that's amazing. There's so many kind of tidbits I want to understand. I mean, we have a lot of people in our Dreamin' Alive community that are working on their own dreams and goals, are actively visualizing, they're putting on their dream board or vision board, they're sharing with others. What are some tips you would give to people to manifesting your dreams, whether it's personal or business?
Sure. I'll give a couple straight off the bat, because this is an area that a lot of people get frustrated with. You know, they watch a film like The Secret, and they get bored into the whole power of attraction, and it sounds good, it feels good, and people run off and then 12 months later wonder why, you know, their vision board hasn't materialized into reality. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with films like The Secret, and, you know, most of the people in it have been good friends of mine for many years. But there's certain aspects or certain nuances that can make a difference when you accelerate the manifestation of what it is that you're visualizing. And one of the first and the easiest ways is, again, go back to what I said. Are you doing it for what you can get, or what are you doing it for who you can become and what you can contribute with that? Because there's a very different energy signature around those two different paths.
Give me a different – explain that a little further, please.
Yes, certainly. Yeah, I'll sum it up this way as an example. So there was a study done with regards to athletes. Yeah, athletes are one of the most studied bunch because, A, there's so much money involved in high-level sports now, but that they also have they make a very good test subject because they're very disciplined in what it is they do, so they can adhere to certain protocols for study better than the average population. So they studied the group of athletes that were breaking through previous limitations and barriers that had stood over time. You know, so if a world record hadn't been broken for 5 years and then somebody broke it, what were they doing that the other people hadn't been doing for 5 years? And what was very interesting about this study is that it universally showed that the power that the athletes who broke the mold were tapping into wasn't a new training system, it wasn't a new diet, it wasn't a new level of supplementation or sleep hacking or anything like that. It was the motivation that was driving them, as opposed to the other athletes, was not about a self-serving interest. For example, you know, I want to run and win this race because I want the gold medal, versus, you know, I want to go and win this race so that I can prove, you know, I can show to the younger generation what's possible. You see the difference?
I like that.
And if you're coming from a place of how can I, you know, be inspired to use this victory as a way to help other people, as a way to, you know, I broke the record because I was running in the memory of my brother. You see people in marathons do that in the New York, you know, or London Marathon, and you see the people that are struggling, but the people that cross the finish line, even though they're in pain, are running to raise money for people they care about or a cause they're bought into.
Okay.
So if you are looking to manifest because you want a bigger house, is it because you want a bigger house, or are you tapping into the energy of what you can, what environment you can provide for your family? There's a different energy there. Yeah, are you trying to prove to the world that you're good enough to drive a Ferrari because it'll make you feel significant? Or are you trying to, you know, tap into the energy of being able to get a Ferrari because it makes you feel, you know, incredible, and you want to be able to show other people that even though you didn't go, you know, go to university, you're able to do it? You know, there's a different energy around that. So if you can drive your desires through an ethnocentric focus rather than egocentric focus, then that accelerates the level of harmonic vibration that you can use to attract what it is that you're trying to manifest. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. What are some of your upcoming visions and dreams that you would have on your own vision board?
Wow. Well, one of them is about being able to, you know, inspire by the end of this year over 1 million people. And one of the ways I want to do that is through my new book that's coming out, which is I Am, The Power of Reinventing Yourself. And again, I'm writing this book not because I'm trying to become a best-selling author. You know, I've kind of done that anyway. It's that's not the drive. The drive is, you know, how can I, even if nobody knows my name, it's not about that. It's about how can I inspire people or give them a system that they can follow that will radically transform their quality of life through principles that nobody else has been able to distill in a way that hopefully I can pass on. So that's one of my visions right now, being able to, you know, see the book, you know, going past 1 million copies, you know, seeing, you know, the joy on the people that have applied what it is that they've learned and the difference that it's made in their lives and hearing some of the stories. You know, so that's, you know, that's where I spend a lot of my sort of focus. And hoping that, you know, not hoping, but, you know, in setting an intention around being able to serve at a much higher level than I'm doing right now.
That's amazing. Well, you know, my last question, Peter, is if we, if you could talk to the 21-year-old version of yourself, what advice would you give that person? Say you're meeting them right now, face to face.
Great. I mean, I was actually asked that question on London Real one time, and my answer, I've had time to reflect, would probably still be the same. And that is, you know, for a start, that the 21-year-old version of me, by my current, you know, even compassionate standards, would be a complete idiot. and I say that, you know, tongue in cheek, because I was so desperate to prove to the world that I was good enough. I was so seeking external validation, yeah, approval, recognition, significance, to you know, be justified as a sense of identity, because that's the primary fear we have, is the fear that we're not enough. So, you know, that was my sort of pathway. So I was arrogant, I was defensive, and not because I was a bad kid. You know, I had two incredible parents that loved me and brought me up in a way that, you know, I'll always be thankful for, but more so because I was so trying to defend myself against criticism that I built this layer of arrogance around me. So if I was able to, you know, talk to the younger guy, a younger version of myself right now, I would tell him, say, listen, you know, drop the shell. Yeah, none of it's real, because nobody actually cares too much about judging you, because they're too busy being worried about what you're thinking of them. Yeah, everybody's the star in their own movie, and everybody else is a film extra. But what we forget is that, guess what? You know, we see you as a film extra in my movie, whereas you're seeing me as a film extra in your movie, and we've got this whole mismatch going on of different levels of reality. And, you know, we've got so much vested in what we think you're thinking of us, because we're the star of our movie, that we seem to forget that we're just a bit player in yours. And therefore, most people don't care enough about you to bother to give an opinion, let alone anything else or a judgment. And if they do, it's forgotten in 3 seconds later, because they're off on something else in the center of their own movie and their own scene. So for me, I would go back to my younger self and say, listen, drop all that. You're already good enough. You were born good enough. What made you forget? You know, 400 million sperm and you won. You were born with a gold medal. You came out with a gold medal. Right? And not only that, if you look even deeper at the biology, and not only, it's not necessarily the fact that you got there first. You know, there's a lot of little tadpoles swimming around the egg, but at one point, one is allowed in. It's kind of chosen. If you look under, you know, the biology in the microscope, it's that sperm seems to have been chosen to come in. You were chosen. It's done. You've won the race. You've won the lottery. Yeah, there's nothing else to prove. And if that's the case, what were you chosen for? Because I sure as hell know it's not to work in a job 40 hours a week that you don't like, living somebody else's dream, so that you can retire after 40 years of it wondering if there's going to be happiness and find out it isn't. And so for me, I try in whatever way that I could, probably be with a hammer, to knock that into the head of the younger version of me, and hopefully at some level of compassion, if you could see I'm not coming from judgment, get across the fact that, look, you know, come from a place of knowing you're good enough already, so you've got nothing else to prove. From there, you have the freedom to go out and get Ferraris and build businesses and do that, but you're not doing it on this treadmill of trying to show the world that you're something that you don't feel you already are.
Wow. That was very powerful, Peter, and thank you so much for sharing that, and more importantly, thank you so much for helping make the world be a better place. I cannot wait to see your continued success this year and beyond. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be on. It's a pleasure, and you know, all I can say is I'm exceptionally grateful for you for being able to give me an avenue or a channel to help me fulfill my dream too.
Awesome. Have a good day.
You're welcome.